Thank you. We honor you, Lord God. We welcome you in your house. Not just this building, but more importantly, inside of us. So speak, Lord, and we will listen. Speak, Lord, and we will follow your instructions. We love you. Holy Spirit, we know you're here. Manifest yourself. Show yourself strong with signs and wonders and healings, setting the captive free. Open up the eyes of our understanding that we may see the hope of where you're calling us to go in our lives. We thank you. And all of God's wonderful people said,
amen.
Oh, amen, amen. God is good. We'd like to welcome also those on the internet watching us right now through live streaming. Welcome to Zoe Christian Fellowship of Whittier. And God, as you see, God is here with us, and he's here also there with you. But I would like for you to just continue our teaching on why faith in God matters. And that's a good question to ask, why faith in God matters. It matters because your faith in God will deliver for you when nothing else can. Tried other things, did this, did that, but come up short. And God is always the one that can come through for us. Now, God is not saying you shouldn't put on your own shoes, don't brush your own teeth, don't take a bath, don't do natural things. But what he is saying, and we're going to get into it further about faith, is that we need to maintain it so strong, so focused on God, that he's not our afterthought. But he's our first thought.
Yes.
And he may direct you to do natural things. Nothing wrong with that if he's directing you. But what tends to happen, because we don't understand faith, we tend to focus more on natural things we see. And God would have us the just to live by faith. Not limited to just what we see, but see what God has promised us, what God is offering us, the better life, a better situation in life. And that's what faith is about. So why faith in God matters? Your faith in God will deliver for you when nothing else can, because God has become your only hope.
Amen.
You know, America is being shaken. And not just America, the world.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But America in particular is being shaken in many ways, not just politically, and economically.
Yes.
That's part of the problem people are having, because economics are being shaken. Lifestyles are being adjusted and changed. What they thought was guaranteed, the job be there for 30 years, they're saying, you know what, we're going to lay you off and get somebody else, we pay less money. It's happening more and more in America. And, you know, yeah, we can say it wasn't fair, we can say a lot of things. I'm not saying we don't address those areas of concerns. But if we get so locked in to what we think natural entitlements, as opposed to kingdom entitlements, which we live in a world, we're not of this world, the Bible says. We should live with our kingdom entitlements. What God, only God can give us.
Right.
Say, what God, only God can give us.
Only God can give us.
And so having our faith in God allows God to do things that only he can do, and he does well what he can do very well. But if we don't learn, have a habit of practicing having our faith in God, when you really need him, too often we don't go to him. We look at the hookup and this and that, and we still end up short because we haven't learned, we don't have the habit of putting our hope totally in God when he's our only hope. Say, my only hope. But let's look at this lady. I love this lady, by the way. In Mark chapter 5, how she tapped into God's ability to get the help that she needed. And it's very real, because she can be almost any one of us. You know, you try various things and come up short. Disappointed. Disappointed in men, even possibly disappointed in God. But because of what she began to let her faith rise up back into God, then God was able to come through in her life. And so even if you, some of you may have been discouraged, even if you were, your faith was shaken in God, has been shaken. You came to the right place at the right time to be encouraged. That you get refocused. Because what happens is that we tend to put our confidence in things, in this world, and it's guaranteed to let us down sooner or later.
Amen.
Let's look at this woman, this lady. chapter 5 of Mark, verse 25. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. She was bleeding, hemorrhaging. I mean, it's the grace of God, she didn't die. She had a regular bleeding problem. And you can imagine what she was going through. In fact, the next verse says, and had suffered many things. Say, suffered many things. From many physicians, meaning the doctors took advantage of her. Notice she suffered many things from the doctors, the physicians. Now, we're not against doctors. This is her unique situation. I'm describing her situation. She had spent all that she had, ran out of money, and was no better off, but rather grew what? Worse. Come on. That's deep. Can you imagine you're suffering? You go to people that can supposedly help you, and guess what? They take advantage of you and take your money, all your money. And then it'd be one thing, well, I'm kind of staying where I'm at. No, she got worse, didn't get better. I would venture to say she was, I used to say, fit to be tied, okay? Attitude big time. Mad, angry. I'm not sure if you run into an angry woman. You know, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Verse 27. When she heard about Jesus. Now, notice the word when. As soon as she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Now, I'm about to explain in a moment, give you scripture to support it, but there was a reason why she responded after being discouraged for many years, 12 years, 12 years of suffering. But what prompted her? She heard something very specifically that was kind of a trend with Jesus. It wasn't like an isolated incident. She heard that this was happening multiple times, and she realized, I want to get in on that.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know how something you've been looking for, a special deal, and you find out it's at a certain store, a certain situation, you want to get in on that, right?
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to side. They don't like deals over here. Something you've been looking for, been wanting, and it's a special price, all that, everything you want, it's a special deal. You want to get in on that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you do. You do. You do. So even though she was discouraged, thought it was all over, throwing the towel after 12 years, mad at the church, mad at the preachers, mad at the doctors. Why I say the church? Because she was, you're going to find out later, she was a daughter of Abraham. So she went to the temple. And every now and then, folk got healed at the temple. It wasn't a regular thing, unfortunately. That was part of the problem. They didn't believe in divine healing on a regular basis. But, you know, like, for example, in the pools of Bethesda, waters get troubled, people got healed. So if you let second person get in, you didn't get your healing. That's the way it was. But oftentimes, the priests did not offer healing to people. They had people go through all these changes. So she was frustrated big time. But she heard about Jesus. Not just about his name, but about what he can do.
Amen.
And what he's done for others. And she just took it. If he did it for those people, guess what? He can do it for me. I'm going down to find Jesus. And this is why we take time oftentimes to have others share. Because it brings a personal realism to what God is offering us. Meaning it happens in real life, these days, in real people. I wanted to. Say, I wanted to.
I wanted to.
And I want you to think about where you are today in your personal life. Professionally, academically, where you are, just how you feel about life. The relationships you have, or hopefully getting one that you enjoy, that'll work out for you. Think about where you are. And I would venture to say, some of you, this is a difficult time for you. But guess what? God has good news for you today.
Amen.
Good news. In verse 28, when she came to touch his garment, for she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. But jump down to Mark chapter 3 and verse 10. Let's go there for a moment. And we'll come back and highlight verse 28. Mark chapter 3, verse 10. The reason why I'm going here is because this explains why she, when she heard, what she heard about Jesus and why she responded the way she did. This woman had a bleeding problem. Probably her clothes was oftentimes bloody. Well, if you've been around blood and blood for a while, it has an odor. She probably come around people. Probably some folks didn't want to be around her. You know, it wasn't her menstrual cycle because that's normal for women. No. She had a constant bleeding problem. She probably was an outcast. So adding to the doctors not taking advantage of her, she got attitude with other people. Somebody she meet for the first time smiles at her. What are you smiling about? You know, come on. Because they had, in her mind, I have nothing to be happy about. Life is not working well for me at all. But God has something special for people that life is not working well
Amen.
For you at all.
Hallelujah. Amen. That's right.
It says here, for he, and this he in the context is Jesus, for he healed many, so that as many as had afflictions pressed about him to touch him. So what she heard was that Jesus was healing people who went on their own to touch him. Mm-hmm. I can imagine she being in the house. You know, I grew up in kind of a, you know, low rent district. And, you know, the walls are kind of thin. By the way, they're thin in nice, expensive hotels, too, unfortunately. I told my wife, I can hear them talking right there. As if they're right here. But they're, you know, how much am I paying for this hotel? But anyway, I can imagine she's like, she heard through the wall, the lady next door talking to her husband how he got healed. He's had a serious problem limping, walking, not able to walk well. And all of a sudden, the wife screaming and hollering, and there's joy. And she hears them talking. She said, what happened, baby? I talked to my neighbors and she got healed and went down and touched Jesus. And so I said, I'm going to go there and believe in God and touch Jesus. And I did. Guess what? I can walk. Oh, they laughed. They're happy. Yes. Now she hears that. Now she got attitude. Probably said, yeah. Okay, that's just one time. And then she goes to the market. Notice many got healed doing this. Mm-hmm. Wasn't an isolated situation. Many got healed. Say many got healed.
Many got healed.
She went to the market. Guess what? Oh, another lady. Touched him. Got healed. Oh, another man. Touched him. Got healed. She said, you know what? I spent all my money. I don't have any money. But all I got to do is touch him. I can do that for free. I want to get the background. And in particular, that she was able to press in the challenges in her emotions. This is huge. Sometimes life happens and doesn't work well for us, and our emotions get tied up in our bad space. And then when an opportunity is presented to you, if we're not careful, we won't walk toward it. Sometimes, is it too good to be true? Sometimes, is it really real? Sometimes, it's too late. Should have came about 3 years ago. Okay. Got attitude. But she didn't do that. And she pressed in. Blood and all. One of the challenges, and I really want to pick on America a bit, in particular. It's happening big time in Europe, by the way. Europe is having a major problem with churches not being established and other gods being raised up. There are churches becoming mosques in Europe, especially in London and England, where the church thrived at one time. Let God talk to you. And part of the problem as we get into prospering life, it's not just prosperity. There's nothing wrong with prosperity, but we tend to get to a place we depend upon other things. We can make money. We can fix that particular disease. We got a vaccination for that. We can do this. And forget about just God. I'm looking only to you. And so what happens is that when a society tends to not seek God like they used to, God don't show up like he wants to. And we suffer greatly because we're not really going to him. And I want to encourage us as Christians and those watching me on this online stream, no matter what part of the world or the country you may be, God is alive and he's real and he wants, but he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him.
Amen.
So we can't be cool and expect God to show up in a big way.
Amen.
This lady got a miracle we're going to read about. A miracle. Say miracle.
A miracle.
a word too often we don't even hear about in many churches. Because what if it don't work? And I'm not the miracle worker. He is. And this lady heard about various miracles in her neighborhood. And she said, you know what? It's been 12 years. I don't have no more money. No mention about her husband. If she had ever had one, or her children. The man said, Mama, you know, you too much drama. You got attitude. We're going to move over here now. And sometimes that happens. Wonder why folks don't want to be around with you. Not you, but you know those that come today. It's that funky attitude. Kind of keep it real. And the attitude behind life that has not treated you well. I understand. So you got to see, this lady had that kind of same kind of experience in the Bible. In the Bible. And God wants to do something similar, if not the same thing, for you. Look at verse 28 again. For she said, in other words, she didn't say, well, you know, that's for them, not for me. She didn't believe that lie of the enemy. Devil's lying to her, saying, like, he don't want to heal everybody. She didn't do that. She said, I think like her. You know what? All I got to see is one example I'm going after if I need that.
Amen.
So she realized, I got three or four, many people, four or five or six, Jesus healed when they came and touched him. Guess what? I'm going to go touch him and get healed.
Amen.
This is why she said what she said. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. Notice the confidence. I'm talking about faith for miracles today. Miracle today. I know the people that need miracles today.
Amen.
Meaning that it requires a supernatural intervention of God to make it happen. And she said, if I touch him, I'm getting my healing today. That's bold. But guess what? That's what God's looking for. I want somebody bold, confident in me. So she didn't just pick it up on her own. She heard about it. Say, heard about it. So she just took a natural course. She had evidence. Guess what? When we read the Bible, we hear about what God has done. From Genesis to Revelation, he's been a good God, healer, deliverer, provider. You know, we sing the song, miracle worker. Yeah, he is. But do we really believe it? She chose to believe it.
Amen.
Now look at verse 29. When she touched him, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that affliction. Say immediately.
Immediately.
Say it again.
Immediately.
When you press in with God with clear faith, you know he is your only hope. Guess what? It don't take all day. I'm telling you, I've been pastoring for over almost 29 years and preaching for much longer than that, working with all kinds of people. Sometimes people that think they're in faith, but behind the scenes, they're wavering. Their hope really isn't in God.
Amen.
It's in what they can see. Somebody. I got to have it. I know, but if they don't come through for you, is the world destroyed because of it? No. Say hope in God.
Hope in God.
For she said, when I touch him, I'm getting my healing.
Amen.
What are you talking about and declaring over your life?
Wow.
What are you bold enough to trust God? God spoke to your heart. You know you have a right to what he promised you, but it hasn't happened in your life. Now you can begin to declare, God, you did it for this lady in the Bible, did it for this man in the Bible. Lord, you would do it for me because I'm your child and I want it.
Amen.
And I expect it. Say, I expect it. And immediately the fountain of the blood of her blood was dried up. I can imagine she was hemorrhaging probably. I'm healed. But it happened immediately. This is the supernatural power of God. In fact, one of the ladies told me today she had brought, I guess, a relative of hers to the first service. It was powerful, like it's powerful now, and God ain't finished yet.
Amen.
And she was sick, began to feel sick, and began to tell her friends, I feel sick. And then she couldn't get out of the car. She finally got out of the car, went to the restroom, stood in the restroom for a while, and just feeling sick. And since she made it in the service, and if nobody else, God had her on his mind. Because I don't know who she was first time here, but she came forward, got her healing, and God blessed this lady big time. She walked out healed. Say, walked out healed. Sometime, and this is why God spoke to me and dealt with me about this message. That's why I'm going to have ministers to say after I preach. Because faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And maybe some of you, there's areas of your life, it could be a number of things. Some kind of disease like diabetes, high blood pressure, problem with your eyes, your back. Or maybe it's not physical at all, it's something else, but it's chronic. See, he's not limited to physical. God heals everything. He fixes everything. Amen. He's a fix-it God.
Yes.
So if you begin to believe God today, and I'm sure for many of you, this message is really resonating in your heart. You realize that this is God speaking to me. It's right on time. Because he spoke to my heart about doing it this way and ministering like this as the why to have faith in God. He'll do things that only he can do in your life. But you got to believe it. Again, she had every reason to be cynical, have an attitude, or stay with a bad attitude. But she went after the promise. Say, after the promise. Think about brother in our first service, Brother Lorenzo Balmer, and how in 1968, fighting the Vietnam War, his truck, Jeep, got blew up and had this shrapnel in his back and constant pain. A scale of 1 to 10, it was almost always at a 7 or 8. And when he got to 10, he'd go to the emergency room and get some shots and pills, and then overnight he's okay, and then next morning he's in constant pain again. That went on constantly, he said, since 1968. That's almost 40 years, y'all. That's much longer than 12 years. He's believing God. So a few times he shared in a testimony here, I'm not putting his business in the street. He said, I had a gun, because he had guns, and he said, I had a gun in my, I was going to put it, blow my head off several times. But I got hope. Seeking God. And it's not to knock the doctors, they're doing the best they can do, but they couldn't help him. And he says, one day, he's at his house. He comes to my life group. He's regular. He's a good man. He's chasing God. God's ministering to him. He said, God appeared in his room, the Lord, and began to let him know that he forgave him for what he did and that he loved him. He said, God left. That's God's pattern. So you read about Abraham, about Moses. God left when he was finished talking to you. So he left, finished talking to him. And he got up to go to the next room, and he got up and realized, no pain. Like this lady, the hemorrhaging stopped. God wants to stop what's been hurting you.
Amen.
If you have faith in it.
Amen.
And this is key. Because again, our American approach is so much about entertain me. It's about serve me. It's about do for me. It's about our American entitlements. And too often we carry that to God. You know, God is good. God got promises. Just do it, God. Just do it, God. But no, it's working a lot differently with God. He rewards those that diligently seek him. And he's your source. And he wants to know that he's not plan B or C or D.
Amen.
And only you and God can figure that out. I'm not trying to judge anybody. But if it ain't working, it could be because he's not our only hope. Miracles happen when Jesus becomes our only hope. Say, only hope.
Only hope.
In fact, say that with me. Miracles happen when Jesus becomes our only hope. Say it again, please.
Miracles happen when Jesus becomes our only
hope. And so we're not used to doing that. It's a little difficult. I get it. But that's what we need to be. And not just when you're struggling, not just when you have marriage problems, but he should be our only hope when things are going good. Things are going well because you want to keep it going well.
Yeah,
otherwise, we live life in yo-yo. You know, okay, he's my only hope now for 6 months. I'm doing good. I'll see you later, God. No. Because he knows without him, our life is nothing. Look at verse 30. This is after she got healed, the lady with the issue of blood. And Jesus immediately, say immediately.
Immediately.
Wait a minute. She got immediately healed, and he immediately, knowing in himself that the power had gone out of him, turned around. He turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes? Who touched me?" He didn't even know why. He did not initiate it. He said, "Wait a minute, I felt the power go out of my body. Who touched me? The power went out." Now, this is Jesus, head of the church, God in the flesh. He's wondering, "Who touched me?" If he had initiated the healing on his own, he would know, "I did it." He did not initiate it. That's how powerful your faith is. You can initiate it by yourself with your faith.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, again, if you don't understand the context, you think, "I'm trying to push God around." No, no, no. Jesus talks so much about faith because it's so important. It's the way of life. You need to want to, in other words, going to the restaurant, you've been there for 2 hours, haven't ordered nothing. Okay. What do you want? It's on the menu. What do you want? I don't know. You know what, sir? You need to go find a seat outside because you don't know what you want. That's faith. Express what you want. Go after for what you want. In fact, I got my mind on a meal today after service day with my diva, my wonderful love wife here, my babe. And I got something on my mind I'm thinking about. Eating. I know what I want. Say, "I know what I want." But see, well, you know, what if it don't happen? You don't do that at the restaurant. In fact, if they don't have what you want, you say, "Sir, could you make it this way? I like a Caesar salad with blackened salmon on top." And sometimes in a restaurant, they have a Caesar salad by itself. Over here, blackened salmon. I want it on top of my Caesar salad. 9 times out of 10 people tell me, "Oh, we can't do it that way." I said, "No, ma'am. Listen, watch my lips. Take the Caesar salad and then put the blackened salmon on top." She looks at me, "Well, that's going to cost my money." "I don't care. Come on. I'll pay the extra $3, $4, $5. Okay, I want the blackened salmon on top of my Caesar salad." Now, we do that all the time for what we want. Why not with God? And he calls it faith. He calls it faith. You're specific and you go after it. You're not calming down. In fact, you say, "Well, man, take 20 minutes. I'll wait the 20 minutes. I know what I like, okay? In fact, especially the desserts. Come on, talk to me." "Well, that one may take a half an hour. I'm going to order early. I'll wait." And yet come to God, we're going to be casual. Indifferent. Not clear. And expect God to come through for you. I'm trying to minister to y'all. Because, see, some of y'all need a desperate move for God in your life now. See, sometimes we need to exercise some what I call desperate faith.
Amen.
My mama was like that. Oh, God. I had two of my second cousins speak in the first service. My mom raised them as her own. Their mother had some challenges so that she couldn't take care of them. My mom raised them. She already had 7. Got 2 more. They go to our church doing well. And one powerful account is when my mom took him to this private school in a nice neighborhood. Didn't have any money to put him in private school. But her mind, that's what they deserve. That's what they need. That's where they're going. Principal says, "Well, ma'am, Miss Smith, you got to pay extra tuition." Okay. She drops him off and leaves. That's what she did. Drop off. Where'd she go? She's driving out the parking lot. And then they're looking at these kids, these beautiful young girls. And Miss Smith is driving down out the parking lot. Next day, Miss Smith, yes. You got to put up at least some money for the... Okay, yeah. She walked out. You get your money, sir. And they talked about it today. They always got paid. They didn't know how they got paid. All the field trips, flute lesson, piano lesson. My mother didn't pay for that. She didn't have no money for that. But she had what?
Faith.
She had what?
Faith.
In who?
God.
You're going to get this today. See, when your money can't come through for you, what money you do have, God will come what? Through for me. And this is such a good account in the scripture because it deals with the tragedy and the setbacks and the pain of life.
Yes.
That you can overcome that if you just get faith back in God.
Amen.
Verse 30, and Jesus immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Look at verse 31. But his disciples said unto him, "Come on, Jesus," that's my version. "Come on, Jesus, come on, what you talking about? There's the multitude is thronging you and touching you. And you say, who touched me?" They got a little attitude. Now, he always drew a crowd. And what was happening, again, as I mentioned earlier, the pattern was, if you touch him, you get whole, right? And people were getting healed. But the whole group was trying to do that. But guess what? Only she got a healing. Oh, this is important. See, a whole bunch of people could be touching Jesus, but not touching him in faith.
Mm. Amen.
A lot of folk can be in his presence, hear his teaching, but not hearing in faith. How long are you going to be? We got things to do. Or just, you know, God, I got some needs. I believe in you, but you got to kind of do it my way. I don't want to raise my hand. I don't want people to know that I'm excited. I get a little musty and all that. And I don't want to do all that. But, you know, that's one of the areas God had to help me deal with as a young Christian man. When I first got saved, my wife was kind of in the holiness church, and so they danced around and stuff. And I said, "I ain't never doing that. And I ain't gonna be rolling down no aisles. And you know, I'm holding my. No, I'm not gonna be doing all that. I can worship God my own way." And so, I don't have to go down the aisle, but I mean, I was seeing that as an example, and I said, that's emotionalism, I'm not into that. And I went too far. Until I got around worshipers. Who worship God in spirit and in truth, and through the word. And so, they start, I see them how they want to shame, and I saw men raise their hands. Usually it was women I saw doing that. I start seeing men, "Lord, I love you. Lord, I need you. You are everything to me."
Hallelujah.
In fact, that what I just sung was birthed out of my heart in my time in prayer about 25 years ago in my house. I just wanted, "Lord, I love you. Lord, I need you. You are everything to me." So I brought it to our church. "Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold." And what I'm getting at is being vulnerable. You can be in a congregation like this and act like nobody is here but you and God. See, when you get there, then you get into the "you're my only hope" zone. You're looking around, looking at me, looking at you. You're not in the only hope zone yet. You got your mind on people. Put your mind on God. What he has on, her hair look nice. He got a nice pair of shoes. I understand it. Do that outside. Right now, focus on him. You don't want to miss out what God's saying, what God's doing. That's why we sing the songs we do. Notice, we worship him. He's the center of our attention. See, when you understand the nature of God, he don't share, the Bible says, he don't share the glory.
Amen.
He don't share the glory. We have to be taught, don't share the glory with him and yourself. Give him all the glory.
Yes.
Give him all the attention. Yeah, talk to your wife and your husband and kids afterwards. But time to worship, you're in the only hope zone.
Yes.
You're my only hope zone, God.
Yes.
So the disciples said, wait a minute, everybody's touching you. But they weren't touching in the faith. Verse 32. And he, Jesus, looked around to see her who had done this thing. Wait a minute, I thought Jesus did it. No, she did it. Say, she did it. But how did she do it? I'm glad you asked the question. But verse 33, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him. She knew how to worship already. Before him, told him all the truth. Lord God, I did it. I'm sorry. No, you all right. You do nothing wrong. I just want to know who did this. And he said to her, daughter, say daughter.
Daughter.
Your faith did this. Your faith, not my faith, your faith. That's how powerful your faith is. God keeps talking about have faith in God, but you need to have faith in God. That's why you have faith in God. He'll come for you, come through for you when everybody else let you down. Every system, every government, every job, every person you run into failed you. Okay, guess what? God cannot fail you if you keep your faith in what? Him. He said, daughter, your faith has made you well.
Yes.
Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Before we pray for the sick, I want to need to minister to those who need to receive Jesus Christ or recommit their life to Christ. And the reason is this. Healing as a Christian, part of the family of God, he said, daughter, she's family. She's entitled, being a daughter. So if you have not accepted Christ, you're not family yet. We're not trying to hate on you. You can become family real easy today.
Amen.
By accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let's do that first and then get your healing.
Amen.
Then it's easy. You don't require, you're not dependent upon only God's mercy. Now it's God's love because he gives it to you because you're his child.
Amen.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. You hear the day and you say, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus Christ or recommit your life to Christ.